It's 6 o'clock, so I will call the meeting of the trustees to order. Is there any questions on the agenda? Is there a motion to adopt it? Maria? Second?
I'll second it.
Ed, second? Any further discussion on the agenda? Otherwise, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the minutes is next from May 21st. So any questions on the minutes from May 21st? Otherwise, I'll call for a motion to accept that.
Go ahead, Lynn.
I'll move approval.
Lynn?
Second.
Wayne, second. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public open forum. We have one person, Peter Wilson. Mr. Wilson, you can start whenever you're ready there.
That's fine. Thank you. Hi, Pete Wilson, 1108 Celebration Drive, Sartell, Minnesota. Thank you very much for having me here. In listening to the last meeting after the public forum was done, I was dismayed with the talk about book banners. I think the only book banners that exist are potentially in this room or connected to this group, not everyone, or maybe the majority of them. Most of the people I've heard speak say it's not age-appropriate, not banning. They're two very distinctly different things. I know there's a difference between uneducated, poorly educated, and badly educated. Now, I will, once I'm finished talking and listening a bit here, I will go in and be requesting some adult book titles to be in the children's department. I consider them adult. They're going to talk about transgender nation, which where it was this big, now it's that big, and how that came about. Going to talk about the queering of the American child and some other things. I want those children to read those. If the ones can be in there, the others can be in there. Otherwise, I would take this to be a potential violation of the law passed by Mr. Walls. Don't say it is, don't say it isn't. I don't even think it's legal. But on the other hand, you set the stage. I just play the little game. So I will be making that request. If it aren't showing up, if those don't show up, I will be filing a complaint regarding your book banning. Any questions? To my left, to my right. Thank you.
Thank you. And that, I see no one else for open forum. So we'll close open forum and bring it back to the board here. We have the financials, number 5. Some were on the table, some were emailed to you. Are there any questions on the financial, on the bills? I'll start with the bills. We'll take each one of those separately. Questions? Is there a motion to accept the bills as printed here or emailed to?
I'll move that, Madam Chair.
Ed, is there a second?
Second.
Tim, any further discussion on the bills? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries to accept the bills. Next, we have the financial reports. They were emailed to you. Any questions on those or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote to accept those. Is there someone like to make a motion to accept the bills? The financial reports, I'm sorry, financial reports.
Make a motion to approve the financial reports as presented.
Wayne, is there a second?
I can second.
Zuria, is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next, in 5.3, we have the current letter of credit designation. Karen, you want to say just a couple words on that? It's just a routine thing,
it's
right?
It's just routine.
Nothing real different.
Nope. It's the same.
Same.
Yeah, it's just a renewal of what we were doing before.
Okay. Is there any other questions on the current letter that we have on the credits?
Madam Chair, I'll move approval.
Lisa, is there a second?
I'll second. Al.
Ed. Al.
Ed. Two letters. Different ones.
Ed's just been so good about making first and second. So is there any other comments about the current letter of credit? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote to accept it. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we're on to number 6, consent agenda. And this is an action item also. So any comments on that, Karen? Just
The RLTA application came in late, so Jay turned that around quickly. It's on the table.
Yep.
It's not in the packet. And then the MinLink server agreement you saw last time, but then they sent a change to the agreement, so we had to bring it back. It was a minor change.
Okay. I didn't really see that in there, the minor change.
Yeah, it's not struck up.
Oh, okay.
It
was an extra paragraph in there that they forgot to take out, so this is the version with the paragraph in there.
Okay. So we need to take those together, or?
Yeah, you could do consent all as one.
Okay.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
Dan, is there a second?
I'll second.
Laura, any other further discussion about the consent agenda? None. Call for a vote. All in favor of the consent agenda as is, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 7, communications. None? Okay. Number 9, staff reports. Start with Karen.
I wanted to highlight, I'm assuming you all read your packets, so I won't restate things that are written there. But I wanted to point out we are about to begin a new strategic planning cycle. So the leadership team and I are talking about how to shape that, and we'll be bringing forward a proposal with a timeline in September. We have typically done it in-house over the last, 10, 15 years, so I expect we'll repeat that and use prior years as kind of the basis of what we need to do next. One of the things we're looking at is maybe sitting down with our cities and those that have strategic plans, just talk through what those local priorities are to see how much we can align with those priorities on a regional level and counties as well. But we tend to have a stronger relationship with our counties because we go and present twice a year and you all have representatives on the board, where the cities, some are quieter than others, and sometimes you end up working with the city more or less because of a building project. But it's been a long time since we've sat down. There's been a lot of turnover at the city administrator level over the last 5 years, so a lot of new faces, and it'd be good to make that connection.
Is that planned for 2025 then?
We will need a new plan approved by November of 2025. And we also have other plans on cycles. So the library development plan and the fundraising plan would have all fallen on 2025 as the year, because they're on a 3-year cycle versus a 5-year cycle. So we're going to do the strategic plan first and then hold the library development plan and the fundraising plan for one more year so that we can build those plans off of the strategic direction. So I don't know if anyone was really waiting with bated breath for either of those things in 2025, but they will be coming in 2026. A diversity, equity, and inclusion team will be forming. I'm hoping we can use them as the staffing group to help shape the strategic plan this year. Each time we have staff involvement in different ways, I'm hoping this team can become that. We had 9 people express interest. I believe we'll have 8 people, including myself, 9 people, including myself, on the team. We probably will do our first meeting in August. And I'm really excited because we have people who've been working on the diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts for, over 5 years with me, and then some brand new faces. Some haven't been in the organization more than a year. So it'll be a real fresh look at the work we've done and what was in the strategic plan around diversity, equity, and inclusion, and then thinking about what should that look like in the next iteration. And we, like, Finds Free was one of those efforts. And so thinking about, okay, did it do the things we thought it was going to do? And what is that next thing that we could be reaching for in the next 5 years? And then I think it was in both Amy and Nicole's reports. We're trying to get the Paylocity transition off the ground. It's been a challenge because they wanted to use a boilerplate agreement, and our legal counsel did not like their boilerplate agreement, and there was a lot of vacations in between me, Paylocity, and the attorneys. So today we talked to legal counsel on our side and finally reached an agreement. It hasn't been signed, but once that gets signed, we will be able to move over to that HRIS system, hopefully yet this year. We're thinking we were going to have to delay it until February, but they told us that we should be able to still do that in October. So we're really excited about what that will bring to the system in terms of efficiency. But working with out-of-state legal and our legal, who was in Australia, was definitely a bigger hurdle than I thought it was going to be. But we will get there. I think, I don't know, if you want, I can go to building reports, too. Talking to Tina before the meeting, one thing I should point out for sure is there's bats. The bats are back in Little Falls. So we're still working on that.
I'm good with the tennis.
Uppsala, since this report was written, the water intrusion has actually gotten worse. And I don't, Bobby's probably seen downtown Uppsala, but the SciTech building and the building next to it are like this far apart. And the water is getting in to the stone foundation under the building. And it's almost, I don't know how they're going to fix it. But it's SciTech's building. It's not the city's building. Everybody's aware that it's an issue. SciTech doesn't want their building wrecked. They're in it, too. But the humidity was over 70% earlier this week, and they're having a hard time bringing it down. So I don't know if it will impact service in Uppsala. We're hoping not. The city's responsive. SciTech's responsive. But it seems like a problem that might not get fixed until things dry out. So... I don't know. Jeanette, you were in Howard Lake today, weren't you? Or I heard there were people in Howard Lake today.
Did it open?
Yes.
Open?
Isn't that? Okay. is there anything you can share about Howard Lake? Because I've not been following it as close as some.
I don't know that it's anything more than what is in the report, other than the shelving installers will be in the building, the new building, the week of July 29th. 27th, and working to install all of the shelving. Once they are done, and they're thinking it's going to take about a week, so we will officially close on Saturday the 3rd at our normal time of 1 o'clock, and then the following week of August 5th through the 10th, we will pack things up and move them over to the new building, and the plan is to open on Monday, August 12th at our regular time of 1 o'clock. It's a very nice building. We had an open house a couple of weeks ago, which JC was nice enough to come to. Thank you. We don't have anything in it. We didn't have anything in it. But Nicole did a nice job of, who is the LSC, of making sure that there was some type of library scavenger hunt. Kind of took people around to the different areas of the library and introduced them to what the study rooms looked like and what the interview room looks like, where the community room was, where the bathrooms were. Where the programming reading room is. I figure we had 100, 150 people through the entire afternoon. We were there for about 4 hours. We also had the Friends of the Library in attendance, and then the Central Minnesota of Aging were also there. So it was a good stormy day. we managed to knock one of the breakers off, so half the building had lights and half the building didn't have lights, and nobody knew how to turn them back on. So it was a good test run. but it's very nice, light, airy, compared to where we are currently, and it's a nice building. So, Any questions?
I will just second that. It is a gorgeous building, and I hope you all come visit it when it opens. It's really going to be nice for the community and a much better space than where they're at now.
Great.
You live in Hawaii.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, any other questions for Karen? Irony. So we'll go on to management reports. Any questions on those? Amy gave us a report in the finance meeting. It says we're doing well. Any questions on management reports?
I did want to give a shout out to the team. Today was the big Horizon upgrade. Horizon's makes the books check out. And we typically do those upgrades when we're closed, but we didn't have that option this time. And it's been a really long time since we had a system-wide outage. And it went, from what I can tell, very smooth. So credit to Jay, credit to all of the patron services. Like, Jeanette was sending messages last week. This is what you can expect. This is what you can't. We had people working different shifts. And it made it really easy for patrons, and we were up and running by almost 1 o'clock, so that was remarkable. Good job. It was a big deal. Could have gone horribly wrong, and it didn't. So
great. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And I will just say, too, from a patron perspective, you all did a good job of announcing it on your webpage. I had noticed that as well, and it was clear and easy to understand what was happening. So that was a good job. Communicating.
For that comment, JC. Any question on the 9.3, the building reports? Except for the water damage going on.
A lot of water. We had, just needs to stop raining.
2 inches where I live and baseball size hail. Any questions on building reports? 9.4, second quarter strategic planning objectives, page 31 in your packet.
So borrower numbers are looking pretty good. See, they're continuing to grow. I would love to see that hit 100,000 again someday. And we're on that path, but it's hard to say whether we're actually going to reach it because that was something we were struggling with before the pandemic. But you can see total borrowers by library is up in just about every location, which is significant. And then on the page 32, you can also see how that new borrower count has changed since 2020. And now keep in mind, 2020 statistics still included January, February, and March before the pandemic. So the 2020 numbers are actually, in some ways, a little stronger going into first quarter than the other years post-pandemic. But you can see that strength is continuing year over year. And June is our busiest month at the library. Like, summer reading program, you can tell the day school gets out. The beat to the day changes completely. You have people standing at the door in the morning that weren't there the day before, and they're there all summer. So it's not surprising that we're still strong. I'm hoping we can continue that going into the rest of the year. And I put all 3 months in here for circulation statistics, but on page 35 is the best year-to-date look. You can see regionally, physical circulation is down by 3%. A little deceiving because we did two really big things at the beginning of the year. We extended DVDs to a 3-week checkout, which means to keep it 3 weeks, you check it out one time, not three. And we added renewals. And so both of those things influence the statistics, so you're not really looking at a true year-over-year comparison. So if a branch is up, that's significant. The other thing to see is the digital library is at 226,000. It's another 20% increase. And I want you to take a look at what St. Cloud circulation is and realize how big the digital library has actually become. It moved into the second library spot a couple of years ago. It may hit first at some point if the trends don't change. I don't know what that means for us. Like, we've talked a lot about investments in digital and access, and you know, we need 32 buildings, we need physical collections. So how does that shape the next strategic plan is something we're really going to have to think about. The locker is actually down a little bit too, which I was surprised at. So I don't know, could have been a power user. The circulation's small enough, it just takes one power user to influence it. Oh, go ahead.
So, Madam Chair and Karen, so when you say St. Cloud is number one, is that in the state?
No, or in the region.
The region, in our region, okay.
Yeah. Yes. It's been a while since I looked at circulation on a state level for St. Cloud. I'll have to go back and look at that because so much has shifted. It used to be the second largest public library in the state, but there was a lot of building in the metro area, so I don't know if that's still true. I'll have to pull that out of the state report. That would be interesting to know.
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah.
Not that you need more to do.
No, but now you've got me thinking.
Nothing urgent there.
Nothing I like better than a good stat. So, yeah. Any questions on the stats? I can talk a little bit about the key metrics, and it might make some sense to think about these too. So this format on page 37, 38 was what we came up with out of the last strategic plan. So you can see expand the ebook, e-audio, and database collection. That is an actual objective in the strategic plan, and we picked some metrics that we thought were key metrics that would measure that. But, you know, when you use circulation as a metric, there's a lot of things that go into circulation, and so it's not always the best indicator because just because you changed Finds Free doesn't mean your renewal changes also didn't influence that number. But you can see the digital library here, too, is really shining in terms of what people are going to and using. When you consider we have 34,000 active borrowers and 95,000 registered borrowers, that means about a third of our borrowers are using the digital library. The circulation per open hour was influenced by the fact that we added open hours in 27 locations in 22. So we have more open hours. So I don't know if that's the best way of measuring physical collection, but it's something we pointed to 5 years ago. You can see some of the other metrics associated with late fees. Miscellaneous receipts was one we thought was not going to collect as much once we went to Finds Free, but Print to Go has filled that space, and so, again, it's not a pure metric. And newsletter subscribers, last year we moved to a different platform. So we were on MailChimp, and now we're in Library Aware, which is a more library-specific product. So it's not a one-for-one when you compare, but our open rate is still well above industry standard. When we send something to patrons, they generally read it. And the DEI metrics is just whether we report or not. So it's kind of a binary metric. You know, donations are strong. Cultural philanthropy is a big part of this strategic plan. Board giving rate, you know, we're always shooting for 100%. We'll get there someday. Donor retention is really strong. If you read Brianne's report, we exceeded our summer reading program campaign again. So that's been going very well. And some of the training metrics are influenced by the fact that we had a new head of HR, and so the training cycle has been shifted from quarter two to quarter three or quarter four. So those are a little challenging to measure as well at this point in the game. But I hope this kind of makes sense to you, but as we go into the next strategic planning cycle, think about how you would want success reported and measured from a statistical key metric, key result standpoint. And if there's a better model out there, we're totally open to what makes sense for the board. Any questions about any of that?
Madam Chair, I have a question about the digital library circulation because that is something I use very frequently, and I have had some frustration between the amount of audiobooks and the amount of digital books that are available. To me, it sounds like we are investing possibly, and I don't know if through more in the audio section or is it more in the reading section for the digital.
I think it's based on demand and cost.
you know, we have money and you have a dollar to spend and you have five things you can buy. And so have 10 people asked for this thing. Is this $90 or $30? I think all of those things weigh in. Is it something more people will want? And
so do we have more demand for the audio books than the digital stuff?
Because I believe we do, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that's what it seems like. So when I'm requesting digital books, sometimes I'm having 12 weeks or even longer wait time to even get something, and it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, how do we... Do we have any kind of measure of seeing how much our audiobooks are used versus that? You're saying it's demand.
Yep.
But could we break it down and see if you're doing a good job in terms of making sure the digital dollars are spent on the way people are accessing it better?
Well, and I know the key way we decide whether to buy something is a hold ratio if there's a list. And so I believe it's 5-1 on a lot of the physical stuff. And if six people ask, then we'll maybe buy another copy. The digital may have different ratios depending on type. So, but I can, maybe we, yeah. I will bring that back. Yep. We could break that out. I think it's an aggregated number. The hard thing with the numbers, too, for the digital library, there are two platforms. You've got Hoopla, you've got Overdrive, and so you have to derive from both in order to actually get how many ebooks checked out. But audio versus ebook. Okay. Thanks for that question.
Yeah, great question.
Nope.
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
There you are.
All right. Yep. Next we have the human resources reports of how long people have been here. And Jay Roos right there, 25 years. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Seen some changes, I think, over the years.
When Jay started, there were no mice on the computers. and I also want to acknowledge Sharon Jensen, who's been here 45 years. If you subscribe to the library newsletter, you will have seen that she is the last remaining staff member who has worked in all three St. Cloud Public Library buildings. She worked in the Carnegie when she started. She's been here a very long time. Yeah, we're very fortunate to have her. And then we also have Beth, who does all of our legacy coordinating. She started out as an aide, so while it says she's been here 20 years, she's actually been here longer than that, because yeah, back in that time, we didn't count years of service for aides. And Janet Catterhagen's been an aide up in Long Prairie for 20 years. So
that's
lots
awesome.
Of longevity. Yep.
Any other question on the human resources reports? Their excerpt interviews are kind of interesting, the comments they make.
Yeah.
It's like... wonder if it's one person making all the negative comments, or there's a lot of positive ones, but
yeah,
there's always just one kind of negative sometimes.
Yeah, you can't really, you know, control how people feel when they're leaving.
Right. That's, and pay rate is always there. So
we know.
Yeah, nothing new there. Anything on other 9.6? Other? Here?
Nope.
Committee reports, number 10. 10.1, Finance Committee. Ed, you want to take
sure.
that one?
Sure. We met at 5 o'clock. We did the normal approve the minutes, second quarter financial report was in your packet. Probably the biggest thing was we approved the Great River 2025 budget. You can see how it broke down, and after our second meeting, did it approved? It was approved at a 3.2% increase in spending. All counties are fairly happy with the results, and we'll have a decrease for some and an increase of a little bit for Wright County. We looked at the unassigned fund balance spending and recovery plan. That's something that I did not know until tonight that we have to have. I didn't know that we had to have one. So as we go forward, that was found on the last page of the finance report, I believe. And that was approved. It's just something we have to do from what Amy has told us. So if there aren't any questions, we can try and answer them. Otherwise, Madam Chair, I'll move for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Tina, any further questions on the finance report, committee report? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote to accept. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 10.2, personnel committee met with a record speed of 3 minutes, or was it 2 minutes?
Four.
So JC is an amazing person there that she did that. A couple comments, JC, on the personnel committee?
We just went ahead and passed the, if you all looked at it, the personnel policy was just reviewed. There were a couple changes, nothing big. Went ahead and passed it.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve that, JC?
Yes, I make a motion to approve it. Sorry.
Thank Second. You. Second from Lynn. Any further questions on the personnel committee? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? Motion carries. 10.3, Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange. Lynn and Karen and I.
Thought you were doing the update.
Well, I'll do it.
Okay.
Things are going super well. We're at resource training and resource training and solutions. We will be fully moved October 1st. Melissa is still with us, the interim director, and will continue on. She will become an employee of resource training and solutions now, which is a little bit different, but she promises not to leave us. We have a meeting in September coming up, and we'll be electing new officers, which I will be stepping down as chair as I... My term is coming up quickly that I will be done with CMLE, so we don't want to have any...
For what you're done with CMLE.
I don't believe I can say that.
It's going to be fixed when she's all done, though.
But I'll still be here until into the 2025. We just don't want to have any interruption of officers, so I will gladly step down. We are done with our grants at this time. We are going to start them up right away, though. There won't be much of a delay. A resource training and solutions that said don't delay. You've got the funds. Just keep doing that. So they have some different ways that they're going to do the grants there, but we're going to continue our old way until October 1st. So we will have a committee to approve those grants, which I sit on also. And then there's two people from the Cambridge area that also sit on that from CMLE. So other than that, we've got the train on the tracks. So now we just got to start moving it. We're going to get some really creative classes going, education for library staff. We'll have a great way to access these people. Resource Training and Solutions, Mark, is the one person we work with, and he's actually the director of the whole program of Resource Training and Solutions. So, and he is our go-to person for mm-hmm. CMLE. So it's very comforting. Something simple.
Yeah. Mark Simple.
Simple. That's not going to help us.
He's a former superintendent.
Yes, and he's very interested in the libraries.
Do they have a physical space somewhere for CMLE, and where is that going
to be? Well, it's going to be within the building, but it's not actually going to be an office type thing. They will have some storage for us. Some of the records are still going to be kept at Great River and some in East Cambridge site. So, but we don't actually have a physical space to walk into. But we'll be using all their conference rooms. We'll be using shared things with them. And Melissa is just so excited. She was there today, or yesterday, most of the day, and she's just amazed at how this is. We're going to be very successful at the route we're going now. So just more to come.
Schmitz. I am so grateful that you have all stuck with it and been, you know, Jane, especially your enthusiasm
well,
and your leadership.
Karen's the one who did the
well, both of you. And it's been quite a couple of years. So thank you.
Yes. Well, yeah. And Lynn is tagged on. She is our secretary, amazing secretary, and she's stuck with it. She's very interested in the program and seeing it be successful also. So.
Well, and Melissa deserves. What a good hire.
Carla followed her somehow.
Hire.
I don't
Great.
Know how.
Yeah.
Good. That was amazing. So any other questions on CMLE?
And will she come in to a meeting at some point?
Well, she's going to. Well, she can. I'm sure that's a new. Who's ever on the new board? Executive committee will probably have her come and speak once a year or something.
Yeah, usually we have someone from CMLE in October-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So, and she's just signed a contract with them through, I think through 2025. So it's not like she's going away. She seems to really be enjoying her work. She can do it part-time. She can do some from home. And with her not having a physical office space, a lot of it will be done online for her. And she does live in Roseville, Columbia Heights, so it's a little bit of a jog for her, mm-hmm. too. So she's very happy to work online also. So it's a good thing. So any further questions about CMLE? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve the CMLE report.
We don't need that.
Okay. I didn't think I did. Yeah. I should put my glasses back on.
You're in a routine.
Yes. So on to unfinished business. 11.1, GRRL 2025 budget proposal and discussion. This is an action item. We discussed this pretty thoroughly in the finance committee. Is there any questions on that, Karen? Just a few words.
Well, thinking about it, so the last time the full board met in May, we looked at a different preliminary budget. We ended up using more reserves. You probably received the email that the Finance Committee was meeting in June, okay. Partly because the calculation was slightly different than what we thought it was in May. There was a slight error in the table. So we opted to keep Wright County at a 1% increase, which was what the board discussed in May, but it took slightly more reserves to get there. And it's still slightly less total reserves than what we used last year, so I think it's a conservative spend down the reserves approach. Is just a little more than what we talked about in May.
Okay, and this is a proposal. You'll be bringing it back if we approve it? No,
nope, this is it.
This is it. This is it.
Yep, the counties have been waiting with bated breath for this number. I keep emailing.
So is there any further discussion on the proposal here? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept the proposal?
I'll make that motion.
Tina will do that.
I'm going to make that one.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Wayne, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Being sent off to Sherburne now, we start budget workshops tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
I should have said, too, in the calculation in May, without the additional reserves, both Morrison and Todd would have seen a slight increase as well. So it benefited three counties to do that.
Yeah. It's a good thing. So 11.2, the unassigned fund balance spending and recovery plan amendments.
I have the unassigned fund balance spending and recovery plan, as you can see on page 60 in place, because we're using unassigned funds within the budget next year. Because we have used reserves in the 2022, 2024, and now the 2025 budget, we thought it was best to illustrate how all of the plans are coming together. And you can see on page 60 everything in bold within the top squares are the reserves that we've used. And then the numbers in italics are the ones that we've already implemented into the budget. The bottom line of unassigned funds in the revenue budget at the end of 2030 will come to $1.246 million, which is what the board was trying to do when we were trying to spend down those funds and get the reserves down to 4.5 months. So when we began this process, it was at 7.07. And now we're down. Now we'll have it down really close to 4.5. So, but this is part of our financial policy, Chapter 19, fund balance spending. So,
very good. Thank you, Amy. Is there any questions for Amy about that? About the plan. So, hearing none, is there a motion to accept the unassigned fund balance? Tina, is there a second?
I can second that.
Bobby, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I make one more comment on the budget?
You certainly can.
College?
I was going to point out that we have increased state funding as a result of the RLBSS change, so I wanted to particularly thank Zuria for her testimony and Wayne for going to the Capitol with Lee, who is not here, but also went to the Capitol because all of that advocacy meant that bill finally did get passed, and we are now finally seeing the results of that in this budget. So thanks for that work.
And Zuria testified twice. Not once.
Online.
Twice. So that was awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
So 11.3, other, we don't have anything there,
nope. Correct?
Okay, new business, 12.1, Great River Regional Library's Policy Review and Revisions, page 61.
So we talked in previous meetings about getting all policies on a three-year cycle where the board at least reviews them and if there's edits, changed. So the data practices one I can talk about, Jay can talk about technology. Data practices, the Minnesota Government Data Practices Office, Department of Administration, released a new model policy for data practices, and by August 1st, you should have them updated each year. So the changes in here, you can see that I think their goal was to make it more plain language. You can see it uses the word you a lot more. So that's primarily what you're seeing here. I think the biggest difference in our practice is it actually puts an expiration date of sorts on a request so that if we send a response out saying, okay, this is how you get your data after a specified period, then it's considered abandoned and we can file it. Because otherwise, it's basically there in perpetuity until somebody decides they want to pick it up again. So it was nice that they added that to the model policy. Jay, any questions on data practices before I turn it over to Jay, I guess?
Jay?
All right, so the technology policies are largely to simplify, modernize, and align with current practices. We did a little bit with the introduction and goals to align it with more like the collection development policy structure at the beginning of the policy that you're already familiar with. The Chapter 2 downloading was just to make it a little more clear, bring it up to date, because it hasn't been touched in 14 years, and the world has definitely changed. Otherwise, simplification is the name of the game for the rest of the policy.
Okay, any further questions for Jay about this policy? Now, we can take these two policies together.
Is that correct? Yes. Okay. If you want to.
I think Jay covered both of them pretty thoroughly. Any questions about that? Policy, is there a motion to accept this?
I have a question. I thought that the copy cost, and obviously I don't know, but the copy cost for a double-sided paper was 50 cents. How much is it outside of the library? Is it even higher than that?
We charge for actual cost. We can't charge for more than actual cost.
So it is the actual cost that we charge.
It's what it costs us. We just pass it on.
Okay.
I think that might be why we're seeing such strong print-to-go numbers, honestly. Mm-hmm. Not just from data requests, but from other things.
Okay. So is there a motion to accept these policy revisions? Al, is there a second?
Second.
Maria, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Board open forum, number 13. Anybody have much to say? Anything to say?
Madam Chair, I just want to thank some of our staff that are here today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. And maybe we should introduce them since we don't see.
That would be great. Margo, you want to go first? Tell us where you're from.
Sure.
Put a little pressure on you.
Margo Beery, I'm the Library Services Coordinator at Alfred.
Thank you.
I'm
you. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Appreciate it. Okay. So, any other comments?
Question.
Oh, go ahead, Karen.
So, if you received this packet in the mail, it might have showed up today. It might not have. But it costs us $9 to mail this now. And part of it is because of the policy and the way we do the policy strikeout. So it's fine if that's what we want to continue as a practice in terms of sending out paper mailings, having a clean copy and a markup. But since we're going to be doing policies at every board meeting, I just wanted to do a check-in to see if there's anything you wanted changed about how that works. If you look at the personnel packet, if you have it, that packet was thinner because we did not do clean and strikeout because the policy changes were pretty minor. So you can kind of compare the difference.
Karen, is there, if we would email them out to our emails, we can review them, but have a packet available for us when we come would save a lot of cost, wouldn't it?
It would save mailing, for sure, and you might actually get it then. Like, you're not, like, Melissa didn't get hers for almost a month that one time. So it really is sporadic, and right. It's not always the same people. And we can deliver to a branch, too, if you'd rather pick it up at a library versus wait for it to show up in the mail, but that would require you driving to a library and that library being open when you can get there. So
that's what I do, and it's pretty. It works pretty well, except when there's a holiday the day before. Or, you know, there's other issues with timing of services available or building availability.
It's
pretty smooth, really.
Yeah. I was going to say, is most of the cost in the printing or in the mailing, or is it pretty evenly divided?
The mailing alone was $9.
Oh, the mailing.
Yeah.
But, like, Ed's was mailed out a week ago, and he just got it today.
It was mailed on the 10th, and I think my mail person felt sorry. I was getting ready. I even called Karen and says, I didn't get it. Well, he showed up at my doorstep. He didn't even put it in the mailbox.
Oh.
He showed up at my doorstep, and he said, this looks like it might be important. It's like, yeah, maybe, you know.
But it was 7 days.
Actually, it says 9:25.
No, that's the cost. Yeah, $9.25.
Oh, yeah.
But it was postmarked on 7/10.
Oh, I thought last year 9:25.
So, I mean, Madam Chair, if we can get a digital copy mailed to us, a lot of us have computers that we could bring an iPad or a computer, and we could follow along on that, but have one copy in hand if there is. For some of us, at least, I think if that is an option, I would certainly like to choose that option.
Okay. So maybe Patty could just send an email out. Is that the easiest way to collect the info, or how do you want
to
do
it? Go around.
You mean to just send an email to all of you and have you reply again how you wish to receive it? Is that what you're suggesting?
Is that what we did a year ago?
Sure, that it's been a long time since I've done that.
Because you, don't you, Patty, already send it out electronically to all of us?
Well, to those of you that request.
You don't send that to everyone. I would just start sending that to
everybody.
Everybody.
They don't want
it's easy to send to everybody.
Just send it to everybody.
And we can all print it ourselves if you want.
If you want.
Sometimes you need that.
Or have printed available when you come.
It might be easier to send.
Well, and that's something like if I want to have it printed, I just have my county people print it out for me.
So what about when we respond, when you do the quorum call, say, do you want a printed copy waiting for you when you get here?
Especially the policy.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of it, I can follow on an iPad or a computer or whatever. But the policy, just to have a copy here in the event
The consensus is then just email the packet to everyone in the quorum call. You can reply if you'd like to have a printed copy available.
When we get here, not mail it.
You can maybe have their names on it and stuff so that guests maybe don't pick them up and stuff.
Okay.
Or maybe
I can keep it here or I can put it with your name tags. We'll see how it works.
Sounds good. So we'll start that next.
Well, why don't we start in August, I guess, because there's a work session and it'll be smaller, a little simpler, less complex. We can try that in August and see how it works.
Want to know the savings in the end.
Trees do also. It's not just money. It's like we're saving trees. I mean, we all, after the meeting, kind of get rid of this.
Tina, budget will go down again next year.
There you go.
Okay. Any other open forum items? None. Our next meeting will be August, I can't read that without glasses, 20th, and that will be a work session. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we will have a good crowd that one.
Yeah, we will likely have a closed session as part of the meeting, so we'll need a quorum.
Okay. Well, it's important to be here. Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Any specific reason why we need a closed meeting?
Negotiations.
Oh.
It sounds
any other questions?
Routine.
So, hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting.